This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
British Prime Minister Theresa May announcing the news to members of Parliament.
I am sure that the whole House will welcome the news this morning that the Metropolitan Police have arrested Julian Assange. Yeah.
The co-founder of WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, now charged with computer hacking by the United States. The Justice Department charges connected to the WikiLeaks release of classified documents from former Army Private Chelsea Manning. Assange was arrested on an extradition request from the U.S. in London this morning for violating U.K. bail conditions. He'd been holed up in the Ecuadorian embassy in London for 7 years. Police arresting the son of a sheriff's deputy in connection with a string of fires at black churches in Louisiana. Reports say 21-year-old Holden Matthews is the son of St. Landry Parish Deputy Roy Matthews. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
This report is brought to you by Pilot Flying J. Pilot Flying J is launching its new app, designed to make travel easier for everyone on the road. Use the app to find Pilot and Flying J locations, check fuel prices, and save money with exclusive daily offers on popular items. Tim from Pilot Flying J.
The app makes traveling easier. Find fresh food and clean restrooms, save 3 cents on gas, and get great deals on snacks and drinks. Traveling in an RV? Check the app to find stops with RV fuel lanes, dump stations, and propane refills. And for professional truck drivers, Pilot Flying J wants to make your day easier. Save time with quick access to roadside assistance, route planning features, parking and sharing reservations, and mobile fueling.
Get a free drink every day in April when you save the exclusive offer in the app and use the app at the time of purchase. Download the Pilot Flying J app today. Standard data and message rates may apply. Terms and conditions apply.
A dozen states in the central U.S. are under warnings or advisories because of another bomb cyclone that's bringing a lot of snow with it, according to National Weather Service meteorologist Brian Hurley.
The eastern Dakotas into western Minnesota, that looks like the area that's going to have the bullseye, if you will, of likely total accumulations of 2 feet or more.
The storm also bringing wind gusts of 60 and 70 miles an hour. Celebrity lawyer Michael Avenatti may soon face a mountain of new charges in Los Angeles. The former lawyer for porn star Stormy Daniels is expected to be hit with a 36-count indictment by a federal grand jury today. Already arrested in L.A. 2 weeks ago on the charges, quickly denied wrongdoing. He was arrested in New York for an alleged plot to extort money from Nike. Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir is under arrest and out of power after a military coup in Sudan. The Masters Tournament is underway, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available on Amazon.
The deadline was Tuesday, so it was already pretty clear that the Treasury Department was not going to meet the deadline set by Democrats to turn over President Trump's tax returns, but now it's kind of official. The Democratic chairman of House Ways and Means Committee demanding the IRS give him 6 years of Trump's personal tax returns, as well as returns from several Trump-linked organizations, by Tuesday. Now, last night, a letter came from Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, in which he said the request is not routine and raises concerns of congressional overreach. Mnuchin says his department will continue to consult with the Department of Justice about it. Authorities in the Dominican Republic confirming they have found the bodies of a New York couple who went missing on March 27th. Investigators believe Portia Ravenel and her boyfriend Orlando Moore of Mount Vernon were involved in a car crash after checking out of their hotel. Ravenel initially survived the crash but was found unconscious on the side of the road without any ID. She died in a hospital on April 4th. Moore's remains were found in the water, not far from where their rental car was found submerged. And Israel is planning to make history today as a small Israeli spacecraft is to touch down on the moon in what would be the first privately funded mission ever to land on the moon. It's supposed to touch down in the Sea of Serenity between 3 and 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Back on track. Bill Martinez live. Back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Yes, the best-selling author, president of Amerisearch, and we're going to be talking about income tax. Yes, 'tis the season. Bill, people are a little cranky about this year's income tax. I mean, they got a big break during the year, but if you were unlucky to be in one of those salt states, income tax is very, very, very painful this year right now.
It is, and some of the candidates running for office are even saying they want 90% income tax. And I wrote a book, it's called The Interesting History of Income Tax. Did you know that prior to the Civil War, there was no income tax? That the federal government was supported by tariff taxes, which were imports from other countries, and excise taxes on specific items like salt, tea, tobacco. And the problem was the tariff taxes that helped the North hurt the South. So the North had factories, and when you made foreign goods more expensive, it made people buy stuff from your local factory. Mm-hmm. The South didn't have factories. And so they either had to buy more expensive stuff from Europe because of these tariff taxes or stuff that was more expensive from the northern factories. Mm-hmm. At one point, 90% of the federal government was financed by tariff taxes collected at southern ports. And they would threaten to secede, and the federal government would send troops to say, no, you're going to collect these taxes. Well, obviously, we had the Civil War. Lincoln pushed through the first income tax during the Civil War. It was called the Revenue Tax, and it was to raise $750 million to fund the Union side of the war. Mm. And after the war, the income tax was repealed. Yes. It was an emergency tax, and in 1873, there was no emergency, so it was repealed. So no income tax in America again.
Well, Bill, let me ask now you, hang on one second. Relevant to the revenue tax in the Civil War, was the South paying into this, or because they were, you know, they were at war with the North, did they ignore the revenue tax?
Right, right. They did not pay it. They were trying to get trade going with Europe for cotton. Well, and it shows you how strange things are. Mm-hmm. They had a bumper crop for 2 years, and Europe bought a whole lot of really cheap cotton.
Mm-hmm.
Now, their harvest was bad, Civil War is starting, the price of cotton is higher, and the Europeans are buying less and less, and they decide to burn a whole bunch of their cotton, figuring if there's less cotton, the price will go up, and it went up. And Europe's like, well, you know what? We got colonies in India and China. We can get cotton from there cheaper than America. And right. So the South was like really financially strapped. But after the war, the South didn't have a voice. The North passes all kinds of tariffs, and they work. Mm-hmm. And they create these enormous factories, these industrialists. And for their part, we did see the fastest rise in the standard of living of any civilization in world history. We had iron for railroads and bridges and all these appliances. The women didn't have to spend all day weaving thread. We had pipes and water and all kinds of things. And so the standard of living rose, but there was an accumulation of wealth in the hands of these industrialists.
Right.
And with a whole lot of German immigrants coming over and the Marxism being introduced over there,
mm-hmm.
sure enough, there was a movement to tax the rich people. Karl Marx said, every man according to his ability, to every man according to his need. Sounds good. Never mm-hmm. really works out that way.
Right.
And so the first peacetime income tax is proposed in 1892, but the Supreme Court declared it unconstitutional. It said any legislation that discriminates based on race, religion, or economic status is class legislation and leads to abuses. Boy, could you imagine that, the Supreme Court declaring income tax unconstitutional?
Amazing. And then what they went after the top 1%, right?
Right. So you had Teddy Roosevelt in, pushing through the inheritance tax, because mm-hmm. only these rich industrialists had an inheritance worth leaving. Republican Taft pushes through the corporate income tax, because only the extreme wealthy had corporate stock. But finally, Democrat President Woodrow Wilson said, let's not cut around the bush with inheritance and corporate. Let's just go right at them. And he pushed through a 1% tax on the top 1% richest people in the country. It was just to go after those industrialists, the Rockefellers, the Carnegies, the Astors, the Gettys. It'd be like today, only Bill Gates and Warren Buffett are going to pay it.
Mm.
And the people in the country said, doesn't no skin off our back. Sure, go ahead and tax them. And so the 16th Amendment was passed in 1913. But then we began to see another development, World War One, and the country said, well, we had an income tax emergency during the Civil War. Now we have another war, so I guess it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Woodrow Wilson expanded the income tax again. And this time, a large percentage of the country paid it. But after the war, it was reduced back to the soak the rich tax. It wasn't until FDR comes along and another war, another emergency, World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Franklin Roosevelt that pushed through the largest tax increase in American history. And he also began paycheck withholding. It was an emergency effort to get money to fight Hitler, and it stuck. Right? Hitler's
right.
defeated, but we're still paying withholding tax. It's
exactly.
Like, where does this come from?
Yeah, Hitler's gone, but we're still paying it. Oh, yeah, by
and,
the way.
And John F. Kennedy, 1961, said, in meeting the demands of war finance, the individual income tax was moved from a selective tax imposed on the wealthy to the means by which the great majority of our citizens participate in paying. So he even acknowledges it's just the wealthy that paid it, but the war finance changed it. And then you had the withholding was invented by Beardsley Rummel. He was the head of Macy's department store. He became the head of the Federal Reserve Bank in New York. And he called it the pay-as-you-go tax. So most people were making maybe $5,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't saving enough money to pay the tax at the end of the year. And so it was this thing, we'll forgive you for not paying last year, just sign up for this year. And so Kennedy writes, withholding on wages and salaries was introduced during the war when the income tax was extended to millions of new taxpayers. So again, it was just during the war.
Mm-hmm.
But something happened. When you raise taxes, Water seeks its own level. You squeeze the sponge, the water goes out. You raise taxes on businesses in America, and guess what? The businesses flow to other countries.
Exactly.
And
it's amazing how that's an incentive in the wrong direction. Bill, we got to go to a quick break. Bill Federer is with us. We're talking the history of taxation. Oh, yeah, it is. And it's coming around the corner. It's coming upon us quick, April the 15th. More from Bill Federer after this.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state, until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Like us, Bill Martinez here. We come at you every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Best-selling author and historian, the one and only Bill Federer, continues with us as we talk about his latest book, The History of Income Tax. Okay, Bill, so here we are. We're at this point now. We're, you know, all in the name of war. We all have to have skin in the game, so we kind of get used to this tax thing. And meanwhile, the legislators are taking note of this and saying, okay, what else do we do now?
Right. So we sort of see a connection between an emergency of a war to this thing called income tax, the Civil War, the World War I, World War II. In other words, it's a political phenomenon that if you let something become an emergency, people will hurry up and let their freedom get taken away for this emergency. Mm-hmm. And then once the emergency's passed, the freedoms are still taken away.
Right.
And anyway, businesses are in business to make money. And you and I, if you're driving down the street and it's $5 a gallon for gas on your side, but the other side, it's $2 a gallon. Question, are you going to make a left turn and get the $2 a gallon? If you're willing to do that, you cannot fault businesses for going overseas. So after World War II, we rebuild Germany and Japan with brand new equipment. They're producing stuff cheaper and less expensive than our old pre-World War II clunky machines. They're gaining a larger percentage of the global market. And we're losing jobs.
Yeah.
And so John F. Kennedy said, it's of the utmost urgency that we cut taxes. He says, I've asked the Secretary of Treasury to report whether our present tax system is stimulating an undue flow of American capital to industrial countries abroad. Mm. Kennedy writes in 1961, in those countries where income taxes are lower than in the United States, the ability to defer payment of U.S. tax by retaining income in the subsidiary companies provides a tax advantage to companies operating through overseas subsidiaries. It's this idea that, yes, you squeeze the sponge, the water goes out, you make it more expensive to have business in America, the business is going to leave America.
Exactly.
And then Kennedy said...
And the modern-day Democrats have forgotten that part of history. They can't see the relationship there. I mean, this is all... proven stuff. It's empirical. And, you know, it wasn't like John Kennedy was a genius. I mean, it's easy to observe, right?
It was so easy. He says this, a tax cut means higher family income, higher business profits, a balanced federal budget. Every taxpayer in his family will have more money left over after taxes for a new car, a new home, new convenience, education, and investment. Every businessman can keep a higher percentage of his profits in his cash register, or put it to work expanding and improving his business, and the national economy will grow. So in other words, people will buy more stuff, factories will have to hire more workers to meet the increased demand, and you'll get rid of unemployment. The only caveat is you give tax cuts to businesses that are on American soil.
Yes.
You don't give tax cuts to businesses that have already moved overseas because they're taking advantage of the cheaper labor overseas. You don't give them a double tax cut. Mm-hmm. And
Didn't we try that for a bit, though? I mean, some kind of idiot economic genius came up with that idea. We're just going to give them double breaks, double incentives, and then they wonder why they're not coming back to the United States.
Yeah, and then those businesses that have already moved overseas pay money to lobbyists to go to Washington, D.C. to lobby congressmen to lower the tariffs even more so they can bring their stuff even cheaper, which puts out of business more jobs.
Yes.
Now, one other part of the equation is John Maynard Keynes. He was an economist. He invented debt-stimulated economy.
Mm-hmm.
What's that? It's like a circle. The government goes in debt to create jobs in the private sector. The private sector jobs pay taxes. The taxes pay off the debt. Really pretty on a chalkboard. The only problem is it never happens.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because it's administered by politicians, and politicians want to get reelected, so they want to go in debt, but they don't want to pay it off. Let the next Congress pay it off. And this thing mushrooms and grows. There was actually a Nobel Prize-winning economist named James Buchanan. Not Pat Buchanan, James Buchanan, in 1980. And he wondered why, he's an economist, why is this biggest item on the budget, taxes and national debt, why does it keep getting bigger? Congressmen vote for it. He goes into the decision-making process that congressmen go through, and he's looking at all the financial numbers, and then he realizes that when the congressmen are up for re-election, they will vote to increase the debt, to spend money in their districts, to help their re-election.
They're buying votes. They're buying votes with the people's money.
Exactly. Exactly. And so here he wins the Nobel Prize because he found out what motivates politicians. Re-election.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Our national debt has mushroomed.
And at the basis of all this, Bill, is the age-old business axiom. That is that people will do that which they get rewarded for. So the incentive is for them to not to lower the budget, but to increase the budget so they get reelected. This is unbelievable. And here we are when dealing with this reality and ignoring it and just accepting it as just the modus operandi. It's just the way politics runs in America.
Well, and then you overlay the socialist strategy. So here's Lenin. He says the goal of socialism is communism. So Vladimir Lenin said you have to crush the middle class because they're the only ones that can challenge the elites that are in charge. And he says, quote, the way to crush the bourgeoisie, the middle class, is to grind them between the millstones of taxation and inflation. So here we're sort of doing it ignorantly, but here we're implementing the socialist strategy to get rid of a middle class, and all you end up with is a divided few elites that run everything, and they're smarter, and they just basically want to stay in power, and then the common people that are all equal because they're poor.
And that's what we have right now, Bill. I mean, they call it an hourglass economy. And it's that middle class right in the middle that has been absolutely annihilated, specifically under the Democrats and Barack Obama. And Trump is trying to, you know, breathe some air and fatten up the middle of the bourgeoisie, the middle class economy. But right now, it's like it's still a little bit of the system is rigged against the middle class, because what the Democrats have enacted in the last couple of decades, boy, you're not going to overcome that overnight or just by, you know, eliminating some regulations or lowering taxes. I mean, this is a longer term project, is it not?
Right. And so you have the George Soros, the Bill Gates, the Warren Buffetts. They're in business to make money. They're smart, and they find ways to not have to pay the taxes. And so it's the middle class. And I love Ronald Reagan's quote. He says, personally, I like space. The higher you go, the smaller the federal government looks.
Yes.
Now, we didn't mention it, but churches. Now, churches provided hospital care. The churches invented hospitals. It wasn't the government. Churches invented schools. Mm-hmm. They were the welfare program. They're the ones that took care of the immigrants. They kept families together, so there was less welfare programs. And when immigrants came to America, their family members were the welfare program. They didn't sign up for anything. It was all there. And so, so you see, the church also provided a moral population that believed there was a God watching you. He wanted you to be fair, even when no police were around. And so crime was lower, and they took care of unwed mothers and shut-ins and wounded soldiers from the war. The church provided all these social programs.
Exactly.
FDR
comes in, says, it's the government that's going to take care of you.
Right. So the churches have neglected their responsibility, and the government has usurped their responsibility. So, yes, the poor should be taken care of. But it's not the government's job to do it. It's the church's job.
Exactly.
Yes, we should have health care, but it's not the government's job to do it. It's the church. Education, it's not the government's job. So the government has encroached into areas, and the problem is, anytime the government runs anything, it's run by people who want to keep their job.
Exactly.
And they're going to be tempted to use their position to have their job perpetuate and to go after those who want to get them out of a job. And it grows into something called the deep state, this enormous bureaucracy that sole purpose is to perpetuate itself, and they all want to use their position. And then those that are in the intelligence community, they'll use their position.
It just keeps going round and round. Bill Federer, we got to leave it right there. The interesting history of income tax. As you can tell, this conversation must continue with Bill Federer, and we can't wait to have him back. Bill, thank you again. Appreciate it so much.
This report is brought to you by Blistex. Odor Eaters is back for their 44th annual fun yet smelly rotten sneaker contest. All participants at this national contest raised a stink by showing off their foul-smelling sneakers at the annual event. Children traveled from near and far to compete at this year's contest hosted at Ripley's Believe It or Not for a chance to win the national smelly title, $2,500, and tickets to the Broadway show Aladdin. But only one lucky pair of rotten sneakers can be crowned the winner, and they belong to 15-year-old Seneca Slocum from Eagle River, Alaska. And while scientists thought that the human nose could only detect about 10,000 different smells, they recently discovered that this number increased to 1 trillion, making it possible for our judges to find a new foul scent on every sniff. George Aldridge, NASA's chief sniffer.
This year's participants really brought the smells with the foulest of odors. Kids are known for getting into some stinky messes, but these kids sure have a talent.
For more information, visit odoreaters.com. Again, that's odoreaters.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
British Prime Minister Theresa May announcing the news to members of Parliament.
I am sure that the whole House will welcome the news this morning that the Metropolitan Police have arrested Julian Assange. Yeah.
The co-founder of WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, now charged with computer hacking by the United States. The Justice Department charges connected to the WikiLeaks release of classified documents from former Army Private Chelsea Manning. Assange was arrested on an extradition request from the U.S. in London this morning for violating U.K. bail conditions. He'd been holed up in the Ecuadorian embassy in London for 7 years. Police arresting the son of a sheriff's deputy in connection with a string of fires at black churches in Louisiana. Reports say 21-year-old Holden Matthews is the son of St. Landry Parish Deputy Roy Matthews. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Pros know getting the next job means doing this one right. Lowe's is here to help with brands you need to power through any job. Like Hitachi Power Tools, soon to be known as Metabo HPT. Same tools, same warranty, new name. Stop in today and save during our Spring Black Friday sale and get up to 25% off select Hitachi Power Tools, like a 10-inch compound miter saw for just $99. For tools you can trust to get the job done right, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offer valid through 4/14. See store for details, U.S. only.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Didn't think they'd get away with it, did you? Bill Martinez, live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. Good to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. We're here at NRB Proclaim 19, and Brenda Crouch joins us now. Brenda, welcome.
Yeah,
Oh my gosh, I've really been looking forward to it, because you didn't know this. Yeah. We have a little bit of history, because your husband and I go back a ways.
Right?
Yeah, I could tell stories.
Wow, I bet you can. I bet you could.
Only good, only good.
I might pay you for that story.
No, hey, he is such a great man. I tell you, I love your husband, and we're such good friends.
Thank you. He
is so talented and gifted, and yes. He's shot many commercials and
did
a lot of production work for me and over the years. So really appreciate it. We're here to talk about your new book, Fight Forward. Reclaim the Real You, huh?
Yes.
Tell us about the genesis. How did we get here?
Well, you know, it's my life story, but it's not just a Me Too story, so to speak. It's really a But God story.
Oh, yes.
And
don't you love that?
Yes.
I used to tell people, I go, I'm a But God Christian.
Right.
They go, what do you mean But God Christian? I go, well, because you always read in the Bible where all these disasters come, and then you hear that transformational
faith. Yes.
But God.
Yes.
You know.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm with you
and
on that.
And I refer to so many of those transformations in my book, because I took the life lessons and the jewels, you know, that I honed on the journey, and I'm offering those to people that I know are stuck, and they just don't know how to move forward. And you know, our culture is very hypocritical, because they are telling us you be you, and so often people don't know how to be
who they are.
Don't know who they are,
exactly.
And so, you know, I know that was my story, and obviously, you know, I came out of childhood sexual abuse, but it was a hidden secret, and it was something that, you know, I was raised in what, you know, for the most part, a very good home, a Christian home. My mother taught me well, and I had love, but, you know, this secret was there, and it wrapped my identity and twisted it in shame. And so, you know, later in life, I then went into these very abusive relationships, and I didn't understand how could I end
Why
up.
Why were
in
you
this?
Attracting them? Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, in research and psychology, it does bring out the fact that when children survive this trauma, they don't know how to distinguish the good parent from the bad parent, and remove, you know, the bad from the good, and so they'll take these dynamics into their relationships for life.
Right.
And unless we're transformed on the inside, we just don't know how to move forward from that. And we'll continue to repeat the same thing. We'll stay in the same relationships or attract the same ones over and over again. And listen, I had loaded guns held to my head. I had I had it all. And but the bruises that are left on your person, on the inside, are the worst ones. And that's the narrative that continues to tell you you're not good enough, and you're never going to be anything. You know.
You're less than forever.
Exactly.
Right.
And so it really was, I had to go through my unraveling, because what I did, Bill, is I tried to put on this performance and really...
Well, here you are. You're in the performance business. I mean, TV host, author, singer, songwriter, you're out there in the public. And so you start identifying with what they want. And in the process, you don't know who you are.
Right. I just wanted to be lovable.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you want, because here it is. I mean, well, because that's your focus. You're the objective, but yet God has a bigger plan for you.
He does, and really, what we don't understand is that it's in the unraveling. Often when things are falling apart, and we're at that crossroads of why me, or what in the world have I done? You know, my life is over. And I really want my book to minister to those people. It's going to encourage them.
Right.
But it's in that place we don't realize that's where we're held by God, and that's where He's working. And I believe that He was in that gracious process of peeling back the onion, so to speak,
exactly.
And getting to the core, the root of me, where I really hated myself, so that I could then look in the mirror of His glory.
Yes,
and discover who I was. And so it was in the identity of I am that I found out who I was.
Right,
and then
exactly.
That's where you get your voice. That's where you learn your authority. And that's where you move forward.
Your story sounds so similar. I spoke with, and all of a sudden, my... with Sandy Patty.
Oh, I love her, yes.
And similar story.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing. And her book called The Voice, you know, to echoing, you know, a similar, you know, similar realization as you're sharing with us. And, you know, this message is one that needed to be heard. I mean, it's interesting. Your book, her book, all coming, all converging at the same time. It's like, okay, what's God trying to tell us?
Well, we're in a Me Too era. And so, you know, there's so many people that are, they're coming out of their, they want to come out of their shame, and they want to come out into the light. And so you have to expose the truth first. And, and but, you know, we can't get stuck there.
That's right.
And right now, our society's offering no answers except for just expose the monsters.
That's right, exactly.
And, Bill, I believe that God loves the perpetrators as much as the victims.
Well, of course. He created us both.
Yes. Right. And so He wants to set them free, too. And they've got to come out from their shame as well. And from the cycles of abuse that, you know, this demonic cycle that, that is just killing, stealing, and destroying.
Exactly.
And so, you know, I just really believe that this is the time that God's giving a voice to those who have been through it. They've been through the crucible, and they understand. They've come to the other side, and, you know, they've been on that back side of the desert, so to speak.
Exactly. And, you know, and we're dealing with some heavy issues here. I mean, when you talk about abuse, and, of course, oh, yeah, by the way, I mean, you know, abortion, you know, is all coming on full, you know, full-blown at us as well.
Absolutely.
And so, again, you know, our God is faithful. He's in the transformational business.
Yes.
And you know, and I think we're here. I think we're coming for a time, you know, as they say, such as this, right?
Exactly. You know, and what the world doesn't understand is that He makes all things new again.
Yes, right.
And so, you know,
but if you haven't experienced that's a foreign concept.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And so that's why we need voices to raise up and say, you know what, this is what Jesus did for me.
Right, exactly, like the blind man.
Exactly.
And it's a simple thing. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, they overthink their testimony. You know, and I love the blind man. It's just very simple. It's one of my favorite testimonies, you know. You know, I am. Kind of like what you're saying, but in reverse.
Exactly.
And I think, you know, for those of us that have gone through that definitive experience, that's, you know, there's no turning back from there.
No. No.
Right?
Exactly. I used to be a person that I struggled with people who controlled me, and I struggled with not knowing how to speak up for myself, and, you know, and then you go through the process of becoming hardened and angry and bitter, and then, you know, you're just abrasive.
Yes.
And, you know, God doesn't want us in either place. There's a portion of my book I call Divas and Doormats. Mm. It's in one of the chapters. Mm. But, you know, He doesn't want us in either one of those positions,
right.
But He wants to give us that true place of authority where we're walking in spirit and truth.
Yes, remember.
Where we have mercy and compassion and love for the person who's trapped. We're not threatened by them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And we've come to bring the good news to set them free.
Exactly. Because God wants us to walk in freedom. I mean,
right.
You know, that's really what it's all about. Otherwise, why send Jesus?
Exactly.
What a waste.
Exactly.
Right? So there's the golden opportunity for all of us. And as you say, all of us. Mm-hmm. It's not just for, you know, it's not just for one and not the other. I mean, this is
right.
The way, this is the way, you know, our God thinks. It's always complete,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yes. He loves us all so uniquely.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that I think people have just got to understand. He's such a loving Father.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, for you, what was it at that cross, when you came to that crossroads and you said, it's time. I mean, you know, we're
yeah.
You know, the truth came upon you. You had to reconcile the truth mm-hmm. and realize that the Father was going to be the one to get you through.
You know, I think there were many little crossroads
okay.
that led to probably my biggest one, and that was at the point of divorce number two. And, you know, I didn't want to be that woman. I struggled with divorce number one.
Yeah.
And I struggled with, you know, coming to the place of where I had to really look at this for what it was. But I had a little girl that, you know, God used her to wake me up. And often we won't do for ourselves what we will do for our children.
Right, exactly.
And so, you know, it was something that began to awaken inside of me because I was so shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where, you know, there's so much judgment that's often passed on these people that repeat their mistakes. But God doesn't abandon us there.
No,
you
that's
know?
Right.
And thank God, mm-hmm. you know, the love of Jesus mm-hmm. reached in to, you know, look at the woman at the well.
Right.
And He said, you know, are you married? Mm-hmm. Where's your husband? She said, I'm not married. He says, that's right.
and the
man you're with, it's not your husband.
Right.
And you've had five.
Right. Brenda Crouch has been with us. Her brand new book, Fight Forward, Reclaim the Real You. It's going to bless you. Mm-hmm. Where can they go to find more information?
They can find it at BrendaCrouch.com.
Mm-hmm.
They can go to Amazon and find my book there. It's in presale. That it's going to drop in the stores in May 7th.
Wow.
And yeah, and Barnes and Noble as well.
Congrats.
Yeah.
You're an author.
I'm an author.
On top of everything else. That's so cool.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea, timeshare contract guaranteed, or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call NOW.
800-485-2167. 800-485-2167. 800-485-2167. That's 800-485-2167.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
$1,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
To Bill Martinez live.
God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire. Lord, I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire.
Welcome back, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez. And, well, we've got a real treat for you. Cory Doctorow joins us. According to Kim Stanley Robinson, Cory is one of the most important science fiction writers because he's also a public intellectual in the old style. He brings the news and explains it. Boy, I'll tell you, that's what we need. We need somebody to explain the news, Cory, because we're just so confused with all the fake news flying around.
Indeed. Well, the new book is four science fiction novellas that are sort of ripped from the headlines. One is about, for example, refugees whose housing tries to take control of their lives and take every penny they have, and, you know, similar kinds of themes.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what was it that drove you to write this book? Was it just that the news of the day was so overwhelming? You said, "Wait, I got to give myself a break and get away from it, and write these four novellas."
Well, that's nearly exactly right. Mm-hmm. You know, as a fiction writer, the way that I make sense of stuff in the world is, especially when it's getting under my skin, is to write about it and try to use fiction as a vehicle to kind of plumb some of the deeper truths there. So, you know, it's like a lot of people, I've been very worried about things like racist police violence and trying to figure out what I can do about it. And that got me thinking about what Superman would do about it, which is how I came to write the story Radicalized, Model Minority, which asks that question and also looks at the limits of what individuals can do in the context of these big systemic problems.
Exactly. Well, Cory is recognized as a futurist who's also co-editor of a popular web blog, Boing Boing, an MIT Media Lab research associate, an award-winning and best-selling author of techno thrillers, and a freedom and technology activist. And I love that about you because technology is encroaching all around us. And it, with each encroachment, it threatens our liberties, does it not?
Well, it certainly does, and I think it's really important to notice that the ways that technology works and the ways that it doesn't work, they're not foretold by history, right? No one came down off a mountaintop with two stone tablets saying, stop rotating your server's log files and start mining them for market intelligence.
Right.
So these are choices people are making, and we can make different ones. And, you know, one of the things that you can do in fiction is show how people can seize the means of information. I wrote a novel called Little Brother about 10 years ago that was a bestseller and, you know, has been published around the world. And I meet cryptographers and information professionals and computer scientists everywhere I go who read that book as a kind of call to arms and got involved in the industry because they wanted to figure out how to use technology to give people more control over their lives, not take it away.
Well, and your insight is so timely. As you say, you have a way of presenting it so that we can, we can consume it in a way that's valuable as opposed to, resisting or just coming and hitting somebody between the eyes with this. Although maybe for some it might be a bit abrupt, which only probably indicates their ideological bent. And, maybe it's the wrong gospel, wrong church. But still, the way you present this, it's provocative, no doubt.
Yeah, I certainly wear my politics on my sleeve, and I think that people on both sides of the political spectrum can agree that allowing distant corporations to decide how you can use the property that you lawfully acquire to force you to arrange your affairs to benefit them rather than yourself is never good policy. So, you know, writing about stories in which people have toasters that will only toast authorized bread and washing machines that will only wash authorized laundry may sound fanciful, but, you know, it's only a step away from a phone that will only run authorized software from an authorized app store or, you know, as Johnson & Johnson's just got approval for an artificial pancreas that will only let you refill it with authorized insulin.
Yes, exactly. No, it's gotten nuts. Radicalized is how social economic inequality is shaping America's near future. I mean, take a look at it. We've got violent police and mass surveillance. Certainly we learned about increasing mass surveillance even for a presidential candidate here recently.
Yeah, indeed. And, you know, again, surveillance is one of those great contradictions of the 21st century because on the one hand, you know, cryptography tools, as our friends in law enforcement will frequently remind us, allow you to communicate with such perfect secrecy that no one can break it. But on the other hand, the configuration and design of networks is such that we end up leaking all kinds of information anyway. And, you know, I think this is one of those things where our governments need to figure out which side they're on. You know, the rash of ransomware and other malware attacks we've had in the recent years has come because of government cyber weapons that leaked. And these weapons were designed in order to make it easier to surveil people using networks. And you can either make networks easier to surveil or you can make them harder for corporations and bad guys to spy on us with. But you can't do both. Mm-hmm. And so trying to dig into those questions with stories in these books, I think really kind of helps clarify an issue that's sometimes deliberately muddied, right? It's hard to get a man to understand something when his paycheck depends on him not understanding it.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, the whole issue, Corey, is I read, you know, parts of your book. I haven't had a chance to go all the way through it. But still, it's like you have to suspend liberty. I mean, liberty is the boundary of all this. So you take liberty out of the way, and then it gets muddied, it gets confusing, because you have no basis on which to qualify mass surveillance or violent police or refugee crises or domestic terrorism, because to me, that is the critical bumper in all this, is it not?
Well, you know, I work part-time for a nonprofit called the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and for 30 years we've campaigned against surveillance and for free speech and competition online. Mm-hmm. And it's an issue that once seemed a little trivial. You know, I had people who were back 10 years ago, 15 years ago, were saying, why are you wasting your time arguing about whether or not people who want to talk Star Trek using their modems are going to be censored or not? But, you know, very quickly we realized that the Internet is our 21st century nervous system. Mm. And so, you know, one of the stories in this book, Radicalized, it deals with people whose frustration with health insurance and watching people that they love die because even though they're insured, they've been denied care, become radicalized on networks and start to hunt down and murder healthcare executives. And, asking the question, like, what our social response would be in that moment, especially if the people doing it had a cause that a lot of us sympathized with, and especially if they were respectable, you know, white dudes who historically, when they commit violent acts, are characterized as lone wolves instead of part of a terrorist cell, you know, would there be an official appetite to do something about it? And particularly, how would that appetite be honed when they started going after the politicians who took tons of health insurance money to fight against universal health care?
Exactly. I mean, this is the deal. I mean, you end up with some modern-day vigilantism, don't you?
Well, it kind of raises this question. How is it that we don't have more of that? I mean, mm-hmm. you know, when I think about how, you know, traumatized, entitled, heavily armed dudes go out and murder their ex-wives by the bucket load and every now and again go into a mosque and open fire, and yet these people so far have had the forbearance to leave alone the healthcare executives whose bureaucratic decisions have doomed the people they love best to slow and horrific death. It actually raises this question and maybe implies that we're better than we think we are. You know, we often think that if someone, if we could imagine someone doing something, they would. And, you know, obviously, like, we managed to build cities and great collective enterprises and have nations and so on where for the most part we all get along. And so maybe we're better than we think we are. But, you know, as soon as you start asking yourself, why isn't there more violence over the healthcare debate? It starts to feel a little scary. Certainly, I got a little scared writing the story.
I bet. Well, and the thing is, you wonder, you say, okay, am I scratching an itch that's not there? You know, and the thing is, and I've maintained even with Obamacare when it first came on the scene, I said, there's only going to be a small percentage of people that are really affected by Obamacare. I mean, yeah, we pay extra taxes and all that, but you really don't realize how bad it is until you go and try to get health care. And you find out that all that they told you, not necessarily true. And the mainstream media is not going to report on it. They've kind of let that go because they're in cahoots with the party interests.
Well, you know, I'm a Canadian who used to live in the UK before moving here. And, you know, when you're a foreigner and you come to a country, you get to see things that other people miss, you know, just like fish can't spot the water they're swimming in. So in the UK, like, not a day went by that I wasn't amazed that a country that managed to build an empire that spanned the globe still couldn't figure out basic plumbing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I got to America, the healthcare debate just baffled me. I've lived in lots of countries with free universal health care that just make it work. And, you know, people talk about not having choice and what have you. I've never had fewer choices than I've had when trying to deal with my for-profit insurer here. And so, you know, again, like, one of the things that fiction can help you do is work out some of your frustrations. You know, I go to my local emergency room with my gold-plated private health care insurance, and I'm told that a whole bunch of things that my doctor deems medically necessary aren't insured, and then I get giant bills for them and so on. Whereas, you know, when I go back to visit family in England or Canada and need health care, you just walk in. There's often not even any paperwork, and they just take care of you.
Right. And you don't have to worry about some humongous deductible that's absolutely insane. Cory Doctorow has been with us, renowned for his thought-provoking philosophical takes on science, tech, privacy, free speech, and politics. Get ready. This book is going to expand your mind, and rightfully so, and you will thank him for it. Cory Doctorow, Radicalized, the book available at all the usual places, right, Cory?
Oh, yes, that's right. And it's being adapted for TV by Topic, which is the TV arm of The Intercept.
Well, very cool. And we're going to link it on our website, too, at BillMartinezLive.com. And, Cory, we look forward to having you back if we can get some more time with you. This is absolutely good stuff. I love it. Cory Doctorow, thank you so much, Cory.
Mutual, Bill. Thank you.
You got it. Take care, later. You got it. Bye.
Stocks and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Hey guys, it's Scott Bauer here, CEO of Prosper Trading Academy. Are you looking for a super hot stock tip? Here at Prosper, we are always looking for exciting opportunities in the markets. And right now, all my students are salivating over this stock we are watching. In fact, I've got this hot stock written down right here, and I'm about to text it to you for free. I just need to know where to send it. Simply text HOT to 48542, and I'll text it to you instantly. How do I know this stock is so hot? Well, I'm a former CBOE market maker for Amazon Options, former vice president of Goldman Sachs, and I have over 25 years of professional trading experience. I'm telling you, this stock is hot. But be warned, the stock may move soon, so you need to claim it before it does. Text HOT to 48542, and I'll text you this hot stock instantly. Text HOT to 48542, and I'll text you this hot stock instantly. Message and data rates may apply.
Bacon love.